Tell us what happened, Mr. Wells. How did you let them get the drop on you?
Well, it had been a long, cold war, boy. My men and I had been living in our saddles for what seemed like months. No word of back home or kinfolk, nothing. We'd been living like animals, hunted, running when we had to, only to stop and turn occasionally and attack back at them when they was least expecting it. The Redlegs raided and burned Dayton, Missouri. We retaliated by doing the same thing to Aubrey, Kansas, when they dogged our tails all the way back to the mountains on that little fracas. We slept in our saddles or in the timber under bushes and leaves and grass, shivering, never daring to unsaddle our horses. Slept with the reins in our hands most of the time. Covered our horses' hooves with burlap or cloth to muffle the noise they made, and tried to slip through the Indian nations back to Texas. Had to take some time to heal our wounded and replace our grub and ammunition.
When you got safely back to Texas, why didn't you just stay there?
'Twarn't the way of it, boy. The Missouri feud don't say you fight till you're tired and hungry and then quit. Nope. The way of the feud is to fight till you win or you die. As the Federates began to lose more and more of their battles, and the Bluebellies began to get thick as fleas on a hound dog along the border, well, we started to lose some of the best we had. Bloody Bill died with his hands filled with iron. Bill Quantrill was killed in a running gunfight. Lots more, whose names I can't recollect just now, was lost to the feud. And when Lee surrendered at Appomattox, word started circulating and we'd get amnesty pardons if we surrendered. Oh, lots of the boys were getting homesick, wanting to see their mamas and papas and wives again. And we sat round a campfire, talking it up and down and all around. And one of the fellas said he'd been to town. So a poster said if we'd raise our hands and promise not to cause no more grief and be loyal to the Union and turn in our guns, we'd be set free to go on back home. You fought in a war of smoke. You must know how good that sounded to boys who'd been in the bush fighting for nigh on 3 years or more.
Yeah, after a while it seems you only dreamed about home. And many young men begin to feel it wasn't real. Only the fighting and dying were real.
That's the way it was, all right. Now I sat there around that fire, my hat pulled down low, holding the reins of my horse as I always did, and I thought it over. By then I was mighty near the oldest and toughest of the bunch, and I knew they was waiting to see which way I'd tilt. I didn't want no more friends to die in my arms or because of me and my feud. I didn't say nothing when old George Tilton told him he was riding in. He got up, stepped into his saddle, and they all to a man followed him. Damn if they wasn't a ferocious-looking bunch of men. And most of us carried 3 or 4 pistols, a shotgun or two, maybe a rifle in the saddle boot. Lots of knives, too, but we didn't get to use them overly much. Most of our fighting being from horseback. They stopped when they saw I was still squatting by the fire. Davy Williams asked me if I was going in, and I told him, I reckon not. Tilton tipped his hat and wished me luck, as did the others. They rode off toward the Union camp 5 miles to the south, ready to make their peace and get on home.
Why don't you go, Joey?
Well, that's a hard thing to explain, Pearly. Guess I just didn't have no place to go home to. My cabin was burnt to the ground, my family all killed. The mountain code I'd always been raised to believe in said you didn't quit a few till your enemies was all dead. And my loyalty was to my dead wife and baby, and my obligations was to the feud. It was as simple and as complicated as that, I guess. One boy stayed with me, Colin Burroughs. He'd been riding with me more than 2 years. He said he didn't have no place to go either.
What happened when the others tried to turn themselves in?
Tilton led our boys right up to the Union camp, hands held high, white kerchiefs tied to the rifle barrels. Colonel Waters and his second-in-command, Johnny Sutter, welcomed them in with big grins on their faces, telling them they was doing a smart thing. Colin and me watched from a ridge overlooking the camp. We stood there in the mist and rain with our hands over our mounts' noses so they wouldn't smell the other horses and nicker. Colonel Waters got all our boys' guns and such. He walked back to his tent and closed the flap. Guess he didn't have the stomach to watch what was gonna happen next. Sutter lined the boys up, told them to raise their right hands and swear allegiance to the Union. While they were swearing, Sutter gave a signal. Some blue bellies pulled up a tarp on a wagon containing a Gatling gun. Their soldiers cranked the handle on that gun and mowed down my boys like they was cutting wheat in harvest.
Shit! What'd you do?
Colin and me swung into our saddles and charged right into that camp, both our hands filled with iron. I put a ball in Sutter's arm, spinning him round, and took out five or six others with my Colts. Colin did the same. We just kept right on riding through the camp, screaming and giving our rebel yells.
And you both got away?
We got away. Colin took a rifle bullet to his chest. It took him 4 days to die. 4 days of pain and agony as we hid from the bluebellies in swamps and creek bottoms while they searched for us.
Did you kill Sutter?